Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Premse Koho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Jagannathpuri Dham ki jai, Yamuna Mai ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki jai, Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai, Prasadam Seva ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees,
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees,
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees,
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Sri, Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hare Krishna, welcome to the Sunday feast for here on 72 Commonwealth Avenue. Nice to be back in one's home temple. I joined here in August 1983, and see a lot of new faces. and also the ever fresh faces of Their Lordship Sri Sri Guru Nitai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and Sri Sri Radha Gopibalava Ki Jai. So we're going to read from the Bhagavad Gita. My name is Bhagavat Purana Das, and so hopefully we can say something enlightening today. I'll need some hot, warm water. If someone give me some. Sorry. Hot, warm water, yeah, for drinking, yeah. Hot. Hot. Drinking water, yeah. So, Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Kantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sut Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrivyascha Kripa Sindhuevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9, titled Transcendental Knowledge. So Krishna, he tells Arjuna, that one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So the Sanskrit is Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvataha Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. So the word for word is janma, birth, karma, work, cha, also, me, of mine, divyam, transcendental, evam, like this, yaha, anyone who, veti, knows, tatvataha, in reality, tyaktva, leaving aside, deham, this body, Puna, again, janma, birth, na, never, eti, does attain, mam, unto me, eti, does attain, saha, he, Arjuna, O Arjuna. And Srila Prabhupada's purport, the Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists And the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to the material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is incomprehensible, one has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Eko Deva Nitya Lila Nurakto Bhakta Vyapi Ridhantaratmana. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculations, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, tattvam asi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, quote, you are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, unquote, is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion, Tameva vidvati mrityum eti nanyaha panta vidyate yanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. Svetasvata Upanishad. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily very important roles in the material world. Eligible for liberation. Such puffed up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Om Agyanati Minandasya Anginanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukhat Kuroti Vachalam Pangam Nangete Kirin Vyat Kripat Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Panchakalpatrubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vedcha Patitanam Pavanevi Vaishnavi Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Srimate Satsvarupa Das Goswami Chinamani Satsvarupa Abhirambane, Minitam Sarbhushinam Bhakti Grantanam Naitinam Bhakti Grantasikshitam. Nama Aum Vishnu Pare Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Srimati Aindadas Babaji Chinamani Namaste, Sri Parandraya Nama Rasa Binodine, Nitai Janva Sarvasa, Sri Radha Svarasa Sangane. Nama Aum Vishnu Pare Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamini Namaste, Sarasvate, Devi Gaurav Varim Pacharine, Nirvisesa Sunyavari Paschata Desatari. So, everyone is looking for Krishna. Some know it and some don't. Mostly people are looking for Krishna through material association, material relationships, and material philosophies and mundane religions, and but everyone is looking for pleasure, and so because this, the nature of the self is full of pleasure, we're Satchit Ananda, we're full of eternality and cognizance and bliss or happiness, but in our conditioned state here in the material world, we're covered over by the three modes of material nature, rajas, tamas, and sattva, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And because of our karmas from previous lives, then we're also more engrossed in material consciousness and illusory so-called happiness like that. But the goal of the real goal of life is not material happiness, but spiritual happiness. And spiritual happiness means yoga, and more specifically, Bhakti Yoga. And Bhakti Yoga entails understanding of our true nature and our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that by understanding our relationship with Krishna, and more specifically by understanding Krishna's transcendental activities, then we're getting closer to the goal. So the purpose of Bhakti Yoga is to develop our awareness and our relationship with the Supreme Lord in any one of the five basic direct relationships as mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Which, can anyone explain the five relationships that one can, the five direct relationships that is explained in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita? Can anyone explain? Or, yes, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Bhima. Yeah.
I'll do half, and you can do the other.
Well, wait, how about one person, one for one?
All right. So. Santa,
Santa, yeah.
Santa Raj, which would be
neutral.
In
neutrality.
Neutrality.
Yeah. Can you give an example?
It would be like the trees, the grass, the Goloka Vrindavan, those to serve in a sort of passive way.
Yeah.
They're there to comfort.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Okay. The next one is Dasya Ras.
Dasya.
Servant of the servant.
Okay. Very good. Yes.
I don't know the Sanskrit, but friend, like Arjuna.
Sakha, Sakya, Sakya. Yes.
Vatsalya, like the mother Yashoda, towards Krishna.
Right.
The motherly, the parental feeling towards.
Right. So that's four, there's one left. Huh?
Madhurya,
yes. Can you elaborate just a little? Who is it? I can't see who it is. Oh, okay.
I think it's...
No speculating. You have to know what it is.
A lover of Krishna.
Conjugal, yeah, okay.
Like Rasalila.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting because in mundane religion we have, in the Christian tradition, there's different denominations, and some Catholics actually they worship baby Jesus, that's in Vatsalya. And then there's an order of nuns, like from Mother Teresa, the Carmelites, and they worship Jesus as their husband. So that's Madhurya, like that. Yeah. Okay. So those are the five primary relationships. Then there's seven indirect relationships. Can anyone? Yes, Bhima Prabhu?
Hasya.
Hasya, yes. Means?
Laughter.
Laughter, yes. So that's one of the indirect relationships that we can have with Krishna. Just like in music you have, or like in raga, you have pure ragas and mixed ragas. So it's not that, you know, it's all cut and dry. Also, in our relationship with Krishna, there's also hasya, and there's also ghastliness, and dread,
Virya.
What's that?
Virya.
Virya means...
courage and bravery.
Yes. Right. There's another word in English. What is it? Virya,
chivalry,
that's what it is, yeah, chivalry, yeah. So, yeah, even Krishna is sort of inconceivable. Why does Krishna come to the material world to fight on a battlefield and kill? Like, why does he want Arjuna to murder his relative? You know, all this is... This is many so-called religionists. They criticize what to speak of the Mahabharata, but they'll criticize the Crusades, which the religion is the cause of all the problems in the world and violence and everything like that. But this is as Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport to this verse that empiric philosophy cannot touch or reach comprehensive understanding in terms of spirituality. So Krishna, he has a plan for everything, for everyone. And even when people are killed on the battlefield, they attain liberation. And to their benefit, they're actually benefited. Just like if the child in the family is creating a disturbance, then the punishment is not to spite him, but it's to actually correct him like that. So it's for his benefit. So it's not that. So yeah, Krishna consciousness is meant for Krishna consciousness, and.
And that means that our consciousness should be Krishna conscious. And that is attained by hearing and repeating. So just like when we do kirtan, there's the call and the response. And so then I guess I can maybe ask someone if they can explain what is their favorite Krishna book story. You have to raise your hand first so that there's not a disruption here. Does anyone have a favorite Krishna book story that they would like to recall? Yes? No?
Is it Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam?
It's Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
You have one favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah? You can explain.
About Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
It is about Parikshit. He was going to die in 7 days.
Okay. No, you have a favorite Krishna Lila story.
Yes. Yeah. Vedavyasa wrote Mahabharata, and after writing Mahabharata, he felt something was missing because he didn't write much about Krishna. So he felt very sad. Then when Guruji comes and tells you, write Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he writes Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Entirely about Lord Krishna.
Yeah.
And so that his devotion towards Krishna is completed through that way. By writing.
Yeah, very good. Prabhu, what's your name?
Peter,
okay. Do I know you? From a past life?
It's a long time since I've been to this temple.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe.
All right.
The story that comes to my mind is Damodar, when Krishna is
young. We just had the month of Kartik.
Yes. So Krishna is young and steals butter.
Right.
And Mother Yashoda measures out some rope to tie him up. And the rope is not long enough, so she gets the longer rope, and the rope is not long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of his mercy, he allows her to have a rope that's long enough.
Yeah. That's interesting, because she tries to bind Krishna, and every time she comes to the end of the rope, she wants to tie a knot. And it's two inches short, or two fingers short. And I can't remember what the two fingers symbolize. One is desire.
Determination. Krishna's mercy.
Oh, that's right. Krishna's mercy and determination. That's right, yeah. So, we have to have desire and determination to go back home, back to Godhead. So the more determined we are, the more intense our desire is, then the more easily we'll be able to go home. Anyone else have another favorite? Okay, here we go. Four hands up. Yes, back in the middle there. Someone? Yes. Wait a second. What's your name?
My name's Evan.
Okay.
I think my favorite pastime is when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and I think he became Govinda at that point because he protected the cows.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just really like that one.
That's good. Yeah, that's a long story. It's a lot of details in that section there. Yes, Mataji.
I like the story where Krishna.
Wait a second. What's your name?
Democracy. That's a long story by itself.
Okay.
I like when Krishna kidnaps Rukmini and the follow past time where he teases her and she becomes unconscious because
mm-hmm.
he's telling her to leave him.
Right.
And she just can't bear the thought of the separation.
Yeah, that's... he plays a real number on her. He really plays with her head. Anyone else? Yes. I forgot your name.
Chatamai. Chatamai. Thanks for joining us today. We're thinking about the time Krishna and Balaram entered Mathura.
You have to speak a little louder.
Okay. Krishna and Balaram were entering the wrestling ring, and they were to fight Chunara and Mushtika. And as they entered, each person responded according to their natural rasa. And for instance, the cowherd men saw him as, this is our neighbor, we love him so much. And the older woman responded as, this is our son. How can they put this poor child into a ring with these huge wrestlers? And the younger woman responded, this is our lover. And then there were some soldiers of Kamsa who were suspicious and gassed. They felt that ghastliness. And then, of course, there was Kamsa himself who saw him as death personified.
Right. And I think there's the yogis. They saw him in their heart or something like that.
They all happened at once.
Right. And that's yeah, because we're individuals, and so we have an individual relationship with Krishna. So according to our desire, we'll see Krishna in a certain way, like I explained about the Catholics, they worship baby Jesus, and some Christians, they worship him as their lover, like that. So that's up to incumbent. That's up to us to develop that eternal relationship that we have with Krishna. Anyone else have one? I think there's a few. It was like two other people. No? Bhima Prabhu, yeah.
I liked Kalia.
Kalia, Krishna Kalia.
It's somewhat humorous. And,
right. Kalia is a ten-hooded snake.
Yes, and representing pride as well. And just the idea of imagining Krishna dancing on those hoods, elegantly and simultaneously.
tap dancing.
And simultaneously destroying very poisonous and powerful entity which is present within all of us.
Right, that's very nicely spoken, very good. I don't know what time I'm supposed to stop.
Six.
Okay, so we have 10 minutes. Anyone else have any favorite Krishna book story? Yes? Mataji?
Sanandana. Lord Brahma steals the cowherd boys. And
yeah, that's the Govardhan. Yeah, okay.
And Lord Krishna expands himself as cowherd boys. And when he comes home, and the mothers, when they embrace their sons, they were having more love than before.
When they embraced Krishna. Right, they would have more affection. Would they also smell his head? That's the cowherd boys, a cowherd father, the cowherd men. They would smell the heads of. But you're saying yeah, they would have more affection for Krishna, right? And then their own sons, right? Right. Yeah. Yes.
We are talking about relationship with Krishna. So one thought that came to my mind was when Draupadi was calling for Krishna for help, she called with various names, but Krishna did not respond. But when she called Hrideshwar, the one who resides in my heart, when she calls Krishna as Hrideshwar, the one who resides in my heart, he comes immediately and saves her. So the best relationship that we can have with Krishna is the one who resides in our heart. The closest relationship. I will.
One time I gave a class, and actually this was when I was when I had just joined. Actually, I gave a class here, and one of my god brothers, I gave a class, and I mentioned that Krishna. It's explained that Krishna, he resides in the heart, and there's an actual measurement, and he's actually the size of your thumb, like an inch or 2 inches, or whatever, like that. And I was thinking that my god brother was like trying to stump me, but so Krishna's everywhere, but he's also in our heart, and so that he's manifest in our heart as Paramatma, and it's Vishnu expansion, but there's different categories. The different Vishnu tattvas and avatars and like that, even in Krishna Lila, Krishna is in Vrindavan, and then when he goes to Mathura, and when he goes to Dwarka, like that, those are different expansions of God. They're Vishnu expansions. So in the mundane dictionary, it explains that Krishna is the eighth avatar of Vishnu, but that is according to empiricism, and in our mundane chronology in our mundane science, we follow linear chronology. There's a beginning and there's your end. But in Vedic chronology, it's cyclical. There is no beginning, no end. So if it depends on which way you're looking at it from. If you're, what came first, the chicken or the egg? I'm sorry, yeah. But it doesn't work like that, because in cyclical chronology, there's no beginning and no end. So you may say, well, Lord Ramchandra, he appeared, 3 trillion years ago or something like 3 trillion years ago. And Krishna, he only appeared 5,000 years ago. That's proof that Vishnu is the source of Krishna. No. Because there is no beginning or end in Vedic chronology. It's cyclical. Krishna might have apparently appeared 5,000 years ago, and Ramchandra may have apparently appeared, Ramchandra appeared 3 trillion years ago, but that depends on which way you're looking at it. Like if you're looking at it from like a material way like that, because there is no beginning and there is no end. So then to say that because Ramchandra appeared before Krishna, that means he's the source. No, that's not correct. So some people are just arriving. Hare Krishna, welcome to the Sunday love feast, and better late than never. We're just wrapping up here the sermon, and we're talking about Krishna and Krishna's activities. Krishna has many different pastimes. When he appears, when he comes to this world. And as you can see, there's paintings on the walls of Krishna and Krishna's friends and parents and different activities that they perform. So Krishna, he's actually not a material person. Krishna is a supra mundane. He's the source of all people. He's the original supreme person, and he has supremely anti-material activities that he performs, and that are called pastimes. So in the books that we have about Krishna, you can find out more about that. And we have a few more minutes left. Is there anything else that anyone else have any interesting thing to say about Krishna? Any favorite Krishna story? Yes, yes, no, no, yes, okay.
When Krishna was just a baby a few days after he was born, Putana came to Vrindavan.
Who's Putana?
Putana was a demoness.
Like a yogi.
And she was sent by Kamsa, who was scared that Krishna had already been born, so he was killing all the babies.
And Kamsa, who was a...
was Krishna's uncle.
He was like a king or something?
He was a king. And he was... it had been basically prophesized that Krishna would one day kill Kamsa, which is why he was scared of Krishna's birth.
He was like a tyrant, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Putana came to Vrindavan, and she was beautifully dressed, and so... she took Krishna into his arms and started feeding him, but then this little baby kept feeding and revealed Putana for what she truly was, which was this really large demoness. And the ending image that I really love seeing is like the small divine baby playing in like the lap of this huge demon and having defeated this huge demon and still just laughing.
But how did he defeated by how? By
he kept feeding on her breast milk.
He sucked out her life.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice story. Yeah. Anyone else? We have one more minute. it's not my favorite story, but it's actually one of the shortest stories. It's the Agasura. Agasura was a reptile, like a snake or like a lizard, and he was just like Putana. He was a mystic, yogi, black magic, and he changed. He manifested in a form as a giant lizard, and he was just chilling on a mountainside. And then all the cowherd boys, Krishna, they're like running around in the fields with their cows and calves and playing the flutes. And they see this big cave. And they say, wow, let's go and check it out. So they run right into the opening, which is actually the mouth of the giant reptile. Not alien, but anyhow. So they run into this cave, and then confirmed. It closes, and now the altar is going to open, and we're going to have a darshan, or we're going to have we're going to be able to see Krishna on the altar. And thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.